Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Detroit Lions Breakdown Podcast. I'm Joe Cagna. With me, as always, is Eric Schlitt from USA Today Lions Wire. And Eric, today we will be continuing on with the second part of our two-part series on the 53-man roster, or what we believe the projected 53-man roster to be. So without further ado, we're going to dive right in and start with the defensive line.
Yeah, that sounds good. You know, we established, 25 offensive players, two special teamers.
Okay, yeah. Two of the three special teamers. We're at 27. We have 26 more to go. So you're going to get slightly less content today than you did last week.
but there's a lot more, I think, to talk about because there's a lot more new players, right?
Yeah, well, this is the much dirtier of the two sides of the ball when it comes to what players are going to be sticking around for the regular season.
You want to start in the middle or you want to start on one of the edges?
We start from the middle. Work our way out from the middle.
So at nose, we have a new starter, and that's Danny Shelton, right? So we lost Snacks Harrison.
New England patriotic enough.
You know, and I think maybe we should just quickly mention this before we get too far. There's a lot of media out there that will sell his departure from Detroit as a problem, I guess, with the coaching staff. And that's
the leaving New England. You said leaving Detroit, or are you talking about Snacks?
I'm talking about Snacks. I'm sorry. I misspoke then. There's a lot of people that will say that he left Detroit because he was unhappy with the coaching staff. And that actually wasn't the case. He said he believes in the coaching staff, but he wasn't comfortable in the scheme. Basically, from a nose tackle standpoint, the Lions ask their nose tackle to operate from a one technique about half the snaps and then a three technique half the snaps. So we're talking about setting up in between the center and guard about half the time and then in between the guard and tackle about half the time. Now, Snacks, coming from a 4-3, he was always used to setting up at the 0 or the 1, the 0 being directly over the center.
Right, over the center.
And it doesn't seem like that big of a shift, but shifting him out to the 3 technique creates different angles of his attack. And he said he was never comfortable with it, and that when the Lions and Snacks both said it was a mutual parting of ways, that's what Snacks has continued to reiterate. This was more about him not liking how he fit in the scheme. Now, he was productive in the scheme in 2018. He looked very uncomfortable in the scheme in 2019. He put the blame on himself for that, talking about he felt he wasn't ready, and then
he was out of shape.
Yeah, and then he overcompensated, and then that caused problems. I think it's important that we note like what this position does, and you know how it is different for different nose tackles. Now, John Atkins, who was his backup, he did fine. He worked at the one and the three without an issue. The new nose tackle, Danny Shelton, he is coming from the exact same scheme in New England where he played the last two seasons, where he operated in the exact same way at the one and the three about half the time. So he's not going to have a problem transitioning. Their six-round draft pick, John Penasini, he was a nose tackle playing three technique at Utah because Fotu played the one at Utah. So they played Penasini at the three. So again, Penasini is comfortable at the three. That's where he's played for a long time. But he's got a body and demeanor to play at the one. So, again, you're talking about three guys who are now all experienced and comfortable in the scheme. So it's an interesting battle. I think Shelton's a lock for sure. He's your starter. Beyond that, it's going to be a very intense battle between John Atkins and Penasini. Based on what I've heard behind the scenes, based on what I've heard from scouts and evaluators, it sure sounds like Penasini is a guy who's expected to come in and get a good portion of snaps. Now, the Lions will use that nose tackle as their starter. They'll use that starter around 55% of snaps. And so that's what you can expect out of Shelton. Now you're going to use your backup nose tackle about 25 to 30% of snaps. And then those other 20 snaps are going to come from another defensive lineman. But whoever's that backup is going to get a pretty fair amount of snap. 25 to 30% is quite a bit. And so the word on the street is that it seems like Penasini is expected to be able to come in and take that and maybe even a little bit more. So I kept Penasini in on my 53, eking out John Atkins. Now, they like John Atkins quite a bit, and it's possible John Atkins ekes out one of the other defensive tackle spots. But at this point, it's too hard for me to justify keeping three nose tackles and only like two defensive tackles. And so that's why I have Atkins on the outside. I expect him to be on the practice squad and, be one of those emergency type players that, maybe if Penasini struggles, Atkins can jump up or they want to keep him around in case there's an injury. But for now, I'm going with Shelton and Penasini as my two nose tackles.
All right, so let's move to the defensive tackle outside of the nose, who's mostly going to be playing three technique.
Yeah, this is the 3-5, right? So they line up typically either in between the guard and the tackle or on the outside shoulder of the tackle, right? Or maybe even straight up over the tackle, just depending on the look they're trying to give. What's interesting about this spot is that it incorporates two types of player. There's your pure defensive tackles in like Nick Williams, who, again, another free agent that they went after early. And then Deshaun Hand is capable of playing there. But when they do four-man fronts, Deshaun Hand will also play at the defensive end at the 7 technique. So Deshaun Hand's technical position is called a big defensive end, but he will play a lot of the time like this 3-5 defensive tackle. So if I'm going to name, starters, I think you can go co-starters here, because when they're doing four-man sets, Hand is going to be the starter at big defensive end, and Nick Williams will be the starter at defensive tackle. And then when you go to their standard three-man fronts, it could be either Williams or Hand. So I think there's going to be this position, you're going to see a lot of rotation. So I think you could call both of them starters. Now, beyond Hand and Williams, now your next most experienced player is Kevin Strong. Kevin Strong, the undrafted free agent from last year, who popped out and knocked a bunch of people off, even including the 7th round draft pick and PJ Johnson last year. And he had a really nice showing before landing on injured reserve. The Lions also drafted Jayshon Cornell out of Ohio State, who was a guy who, again, like Hand, played a kind of this hybrid defensive end three technique. But when they moved, Ohio State moved him inside to the three last year, that's where he really thrived. And the last guy on this spot is Frank Heron, who is, again, that same kind of hybrid big defensive end where he can do both kind of roles. This is a big question mark for me, because you may be able to get away with two players at this spot. But the issue here is that Hands, we don't know like his status or his injury status, right? And the fact that he was injured basically all of last year has to cause a little bit of trepidation. And because of the turnover, and because they will use sometimes two of these guys starting at a time, I think you have to keep a third one. And to me, it's between the 7th rounder and Cornell and Kevin Strong. I'm giving a nod to Kevin Strong based on experience, and I know what I've seen out of him. It works in the NFL. This could also be a spot where if they go out and re-sign Mike Daniels, he could fit right in here, and he could potentially push Kevin Strong off my roster. But I'm going with Strong right now to give them a third defensive tackle at this spot, Cornell to the practice squad, and I think Frank Heron is probably just going to get his walking papers.
All right, so now we're up to five players. We're up Shelton and Penasini at the nose, at defensive tackle or big defensive end. We have Deshaun Hand, Kevin Strong, and the free agent Nick Williams coming in. All right, so now we'll move on to the down defensive end, which was anchored by Trey Flowers last season, the big free agent signing from 2019.
Yeah, and he's going to come back and he's going to start. And it's fair to say that Akwara is going to stay and or return and back to his snaps this is from
Romeo
last year.
Akwara.
Thank
we
you.
We have to be Romeo. Careful. We have to point out which one's which.
We do. Now, Romeo is making $4 million this year, 4.1. So that's a big number for a backup. But when you
he's
look at his numbers.
To house his brother as well. I assume they're going to live together.
they are. They have said that they are. The issue here is, though, is that while Akwara is technically a reserve, he sees starter level snaps. Now, what I mean by that is Trey Flowers sees the field about 63. He saw the field 63% of the time last year, which is about to be what's expected of a defensive end, but get those 63-65% of the snaps in. Well, Akwara saw the field 52% of the time. So he's still getting above 50% of the snaps. And the reason, the way this works is Flowers does a lot of pushing inside to the three technique. And because he pushes inside, that allows them to get both Flowers and Akwara on the field at the same time, increases their athleticism. Flowers can hold his own on the interior. It forces the guard to pay attention to him. And then it allows Akwara to get more one-on-ones on the outside. So he gets a lot of snaps. And so that $4 million seems high, but it's something that I think they're willing to do. Now, they added his brother, who's a Jack linebacker, and we'll get to him in a minute. And Austin Bryant, the other Jack linebacker, can play a little down defensive end, but they didn't really add anybody to compete against Akwara. And that tells me that they're comfortable with him. And I know some people are, you know, have suggested that he may be expendable, but I disagree with that. I think he is very much part of the plan. I think they want to use him as a mentor for his brother. I think they want him to continue to come back and give the same kind of production that he gave last year, except maybe even more just pure pass rushing as opposed to doing he had to do some setting the edge and run stuffing last year. They may try and turn him loose a little bit more, but they like what he brings. I actually think he's more likely to get an extension than he is to get cut. That's where I'm at with Akwara. So those two are locked in. Jonathan Wynn is the third down defensive end competing for this spot. Like Akwara and Flowers, he can play inside and he can play at the three technique, and he can also play that down defensive end. They like his length. I don't think he's ready. Maybe he goes to the practice squad. It's questionable. I think they'd probably like him to be able to do that. But you also have a second-year player in Austin Bryant who can get some snaps at down defensive end. So makes Wynn's job a little bit more challenging. I do think they want to have another body at that spot as far as on the practice squad, and maybe Wynn's that guy, but maybe not. So add Flowers and Romeo in there for me right now and put a question mark next to Wynn.
All right, so that makes seven. So that's Trey Flowers, Romeo Akwara, Danny Shelton, John Penasini, Deshaun Hand, Nick Williams, and Kevin Strong. Now, you also mentioned Jayshon Cornell, John Atkins, and who's the third one? Jonathan Wynn. You were just saying it.
Yeah, those are all
those will be. So that's three spots on the practice squad.
And the practice squad just keeps getting bigger. And there's room for these guys, and they're loosening the reins and the restrictions. I'm not as sold on Wynn being on the practice squad as much as I am with Atkins and Cornell. I think both of those guys would be ahead of Wynn in the pecking order.
All right, so we've removed seven. We got 20 more to go. Let's move on to the linebacker core. We'll start right in the middle, and that's likely going to be Jared Davis.
Yeah, or Tavai, right? And that's the question, is which one of those two guys is going to be your every down mic? And I say every down with a little bit of hesitancy because I think they're going to expect their linebackers to be more fluid. The addition of Jamie Collins encourages that. So I'm going to say Davis and Tavai right now are there, but I want to put a pin in this just to talk about how I think the Collins addition changes these roles. I watched the when they signed Jamie Collins, I went back and I watched the I think like three or four games, just watching New England's defense and looking at where he lined up and how he impacted plays, and it was only I could probably count them on my hand how many times he lined up at the same position on back-to-back snaps. He was never stationary. He was never at that one spot. He would play at the Will, the Mike. Sometimes they'd go to four linebackers. He'd play at the Sam. He'd play at the Jack. He just spot changed all around. He'd even go out and line up in the slot, covering like almost like a Joker safety. Like he did a variety of different things. And because of that, I think they're going to be looking more for more fluid players at linebacker at their other spots. And so that includes Mike. And Jarrett Davis has not shown that ability to be fluid, whereas no. Jelani Tavai has. And so I like Jarrett Davis. I think he may be getting slowly moved out of the role that he has had for the last three seasons. And they're probably going to look to expand him a little bit more. Excuse me. And in my mind, where he has been the most successful has been in the way that they use their Will linebacker, which is shorter field, less responsibility, a lot more blitzing, and things that he has excelled at more. Whereas the Mike, they want a guy who can make a play call, but then flex into the Jack spot. They want a guy who can own the middle of the field. And that is something you can get out of Tavai. They started giving Tavai the green dot helmet to make play calls last year, and they just kept giving it to him more and more and more. And he was splitting time with Davis. When Davis was injured, he was the play caller. They tried it with a couple other guys, but they did a ton with Tavai. And I think this is he's a guy, if you're looking at me and saying which rookie from last year is going to make that biggest jump, I think most people are going to want that to be Hockenson. I think it's going to be Tavai. I think Tavai now with the addition of Jamie Collins, we're going to get a chance to see his arsenal more. And we didn't get to see that last year for a variety of reasons. He was learning and the personnel around him. Now I think with those things caught up to where they want to be, we're going to see the guy that Bob Quinn saw as a second rounder last year. When he was a rookie and he was in spring camp, they used him everywhere. I mean, everywhere. And he was intense and just, it was so hard for the offensive lineman to handle because of the way he attacked. And I'm expecting to see that, or I'm hoping to see that come back to fruition. And that could mean that Jelani Tavai is the ever down Mike. And I know that means he's still going to be moving spots, but he could be their play caller. He could be their center of the defense guy who calls the play, but then lines up at a different spot. But I'm leaning on him to be my guy. But that doesn't mean Jarrett Davis is out. And I know a lot of people probably are looking for Jarrett Davis to be out. But here's the thing. When the Lions presented their first two players to the media this offseason, it was Matthew Stafford and Jarrett Davis. They're not going to take a guy who's a bubble player and put him out in front of the media. Like, that's not the way the Lions operate. I think that was very telling that they were saying, this is a guy, hey, we're not moving on from him yet. I wouldn't be surprised if he still ends up a captain, but I don't think they're moving on from Jarrett Davis. When you look at his contract, if they cut him, they lose all the money. Like, it costs the same to keep him as it does to cut him. Now, if you trade him, it's a different story, but there's no incentive to cut him other than to gain a roster spot. I think they still believe in him, so I'm not going anywhere with him. Now, so put Tavai in, put Davis in. The next now, big guy
– oh,
go ahead. Yes. No, please. I was gonna please.
What if Tavai can't supplant Davis? Then what do you think about Tavai's development?
I mean, it's possible he doesn't start the year as the starting Mike. That's very possible.
Did you see that as a negative thing?
No, because I think it would speak more to the Lions' stubbornness to stick with Jarrett Davis.
Let's see where you go with this.
So, now maybe Tavai doesn't take a step, and then that would in camp, and then yeah, that would be concerning. but I'm fully expecting him to take a step. I've seen the potential, the behind the scenes stuff that not every fan has gotten to see at practices. And so stop. I'm just saying, like there's a lot of people that say, I just don't see it with Tavai. And I get that because the player that they put out on the field wasn't always the same player that we saw in practices. Like they limited him because he was a rookie. I know what's there. Like we've seen what's there, and I know the coaches have seen what's there. So I'm expecting him to take that leap. Now, if Jared Davis is still the starter, I don't think that means that he may technically be the starter, but I'm still expecting Tavai to take that a big chunk. Maybe he is maybe he's still starting at a different spot. Now, I'm expecting three linebackers to start, right? You got three down defensive, or you got three down linemen starting, and you're going to have three linebackers. It's very possible that Jamie Collins, Jared Davis, and Jelani Tavai are your three starters come September, right? Just because Jared Davis starts, or maybe it's going to be Christian Jones because they want to give it to the more experienced veterans, the technical titles. But when you look at the snap counts last year, Davis was at 54, Jones was at 53, Tavai was at 52. They all play about the same level of snap. So if Jared Davis was still labeled the starter, I would just look at that as like a sign of respect rather than necessarily an indictment against Tavai.
All right, so we were all over the place here. So we've talked about the Mike linebacker. We've talked about Jared Davis making the roster and Jelani Tavai making the roster. No surprise with either one of those. So let's move over to the Will linebacker position, or what we've traditionally known over the last 2 years is the Will linebacker position, which was manned by Christian Jones.
Yeah, it was manned by Christian Jones last year, and I think Jamie Collins will be the starter, and Christian Jones will be the number two, unless they just call Jamie Collins something else and want to give Christian Jones the technical starter. I don't think it matters. I think Christian Jones, Jamie Collins, Jared Davis, and Devay are your top four linebackers that they're going to use to move through three spots. And everyone else beyond those four is going to be more of like a specialist type linebacker. I'm expecting Christian Jones and Jamie Collins to be guys that spend more time at the jack, or maybe as much time at the jack as they do at off the ball. Whereas I'm expecting Davis and Devay to spend more time off the ball than at the jack. The whole point, I guess, of this linebacker unit, and I guess why it's so confusing and why we're all over the place here, is that they're going to be moving all over the place. I don't think you can talk about one spot without talking about the other, because there's going to be some crossover. And those four stand out as the main four guys. Now, when we go beyond those four, you're now comparing your reserves by saying, what is this a guy who is just a very good scheme player, or is this a guy who can contribute on special teams? And I think they have three of each at the off the ball reserve spots. You have Reggie Raglan, who is a big fan favorite around here for me, which is a bit surprising to me, but you know, former second round pick, went to Alabama. He's going to fit the scheme great. But people are talking about him supplanting as like, or possibly starting. And I just don't see it for a multitude of reasons. One of them is we've always said money talks, right? And he's getting a veteran base salary. He's getting less than $1 million. And, you know, people look at his PFF stats and they'll say, oh, he's a better player than Christian Jones. Well, the Lions just gave Christian Jones a 2-year, $7 million extension. They gave Reggie Raglan, in the same breath, a 1-year, less than $1 million extension. In the Lions' eyes, Christian Jones is a better player. And I know PFF says Raglan is, but the Lions, if you look at where they're putting their money where their mouth is, it's Christian Jones. And I like Raglan as a scheme fit. He has never really done a whole lot on special teams. And I think that's going to be a big problem for him unless he can like overtake somebody, which I don't see at this point. The other guy who's really good schematically is Jason Kabinda. And then Christian Sam, who they got at the end of last year and put him on the practice squad. Those three guys are very good at the scheme, they're not as good on special teams. They're serviceable on special teams. Whereas Jalen Reeves-Maben, Miles Killebrew, and Elijah Lee, who's a new free agent, those guys are all excellent special teamers. I mean, excellent special teamers, but they're not as good of a fit in the scheme on the defense. So you have to look at the roster and say, do I want a guy who is my fifth off the ball linebacker, where we haven't even got to the young Jack guys yet, right? And, or do I want a special teamer? And in my mind, they're going to want a special teamer here. And amongst the crew of Reeves, Maben, Killebrew, and Lee, whoever wins that job is going to, I think, be your fifth off-the-ball linebacker. Reeves, Maben had a terrific year. He graded out elite. He had him and Killebrew both had an exceptional amount of tackles. I really expect the battle to come down to those two. I'm leaning Reeves Maben because of he's shown more, and I think he has more range on defense than Killebrew does. But I'm not ruling Killebrew out as potentially taking this spot based almost solely on what he can do on special teams. But for me right now, I'm giving it to Reeves Maben.
All right, so we're up to six, well, up to five. Let's move over to a reserve linebacker role, but more, it'd be more like a situational linebacker role, the Jack linebacker role. You've already talked about two of these guys a little bit just in the last, your last few paragraphs. And then back when we talked about the defensive line, but goes to the rookie, Julian Aquara, Romeo's little brother, and Austin Bryant, the fourth round pick out of Clemson last year, who saw very little time on the field, only the last two games of the season, right? Or was it just the last game?
Yeah, he came back from injury, took him, he was on IR. He got injured in camp, took him a long time. I think he came back, the last couple of games, but then he got injured in the finale as well, just to top things off. Right.
So that's a great forecast for his future.
Well, that's the hard part is that did he come back early? Was he not ready? It's hard to sell, or maybe is he injury prone? I think Julian is a lock here. You don't draft a guy at 65 if you're not locking him in. The premise for what he's going to do in my mind is, from what I've kind of been, what I've heard and what's been hinted out there, is that they basically want to turn him into Jamie Collins. He is a pass rusher right now and a very good one, just like Jamie Collins was coming out of Southern Miss. He's very athletic, as was Jamie Collins. He's got very good coverage skills, as does Jamie Collins. I think they're really just going to let him play a pass rushing role as a rookie and then allow him to situationally kind of go into coverage. But he's going to be a guy who I think comes on the field only so often, maybe less than 50% of the snaps. But he's going to be a guy that they want to develop into something more. I think maybe next year we're talking about him not being a Jack, but being an off the ball guy, because he's got more range than what we saw out of Kennard. Now, Austin Bryan is another guy that they believe in, and his secondary position is going to be that down defensive end, which is what makes him appealing and what knocked, I guess, Jonathan Wynn out of the conversation. I do think Bryan has enough potential. And they want to have young pass rushers that they can put on the field. Therefore, both Aquara and Bryant, I think, make this roster pretty easily. The only other guy who has spent a lot of time at Jack is Anthony Pittman, who was an undrafted rookie out of Wayne State last year. He was a Mike linebacker at Wayne State, but then they cross-trained him in all the different positions, and he showed a lot of promise at Jack. Problem is he's undersized. He's only like 225 pounds, or was at the beginning of last year. He's a guy I think that is a developmental practice squad type stash guy, and see how he goes. There's a lot of potential, but I can't see him superseding Bryant on the 53-man roster.
All right, so rounding out the linebacker group, Jamie Collins, Jelani Tavai, Jared Davis, Christian Jones, Julian Aquara, Austin Bryant, and Jalen Reeves-Maben. So that makes for seven linebackers. You mentioned Killebrew out, Raglan out. those guys being totally out, but maybe one or two other guys end up on the practice squad.
I think because of the lenient rules with the practice squad, there's a possibility we could see a guy like Ragland on the practice squad.
Really?
Yeah, it's possible because there's an allowance for it now. Previously, a guy with his level of experience wouldn't have been allowed, but you know, he fits the requirements in order to be put on the practice squad. Wouldn't be surprised if he's interested in that. He may want to go back out and test the market, but you know, he's a guy as well as he played. And I know he's coming from a Super Bowl champion. He played less than 25% of the snaps on Kansas City's defense last year. That's less than Jalen Reeves-Maven played in Detroit's defense last year. So he's not a guy who's going to come in and make a lot of noise, but he's a guy who fits and could be an emergency type player. Someone gets hurt, you can bring him up because he's such a good scheme fit that I think they might want to keep, they're going to try and keep him around if they can.
All right. So we've buzzed through 14 players that'll make up the front seven, or most of the time the front six, and some of the time the front five, leaving a whopping 11 players in the defensive secondary that are going to make the cut and make the roster, meaning that everybody you're going to talk about, they're all making the team.
Yeah, this defensive backs group gets a lot of players because
they're getting burned.
Well, but they're constantly
every team, but that's true for every team.
Yeah, and they're an important part of the scheme. They technically will operate with five as their base, but they will spend about half their snaps with six out there just because of the way that when they go to sub packages, they'll add more. There'll be times when they'll have seven on the field, you know, like when they go into like their NASCAR formations and stuff like that on, you know, third and long. And you need to use a lot of these guys. I mean, if you're going to have seven of them that you need to be able to play, you're going to need 11 of these guys on the roster. Then you add in the fact that this is typically where your gunners come from. That means you're going to have a couple of guys that are going to need to be really good on special teams here because they need to have both speed and tackling ability. And that comes from usually safeties and cornerbacks. And in addition, you need guys that can play outside and guys that can play inside and guys that can cross over, right? So the way the Lions operate is they have their primarily outside corners who spend about 85 to 90% of their snaps on the outside. Then you have a nickel guy in Justin Coleman who spends about 85% on the inside, but he'll still kick outside. Mostly because they'll try and play matchup football. You know, if we go back and look at the Kansas City, or if we think about the Kansas City game, Justin Coleman basically said, because Darius Slay was hurt, if you remember.
Yeah.
And they basically said, Justin Coleman, you're just going to shadow your guy no matter where he goes. And Mike Ford, you're going to shadow your guy wherever he goes, right? And Mike Ford ended up playing a lot of time in a slot because of the man that he was covering, whereas Coleman ended up playing more on the outside because it was, again, they just played a shadow game with all three, not just their top guy, all three played shadow games. So they'll do that from time to time. And so they need these guys to be a little bit flexible, but primarily I'm going to talk about where they line up. So I mentioned Coleman. Coleman is the only starter at corner that returns. They lost both their other starting corners, and they've replaced them with two new starting corners. They lost Darius Slay, and then they brought in Desmond Trufant, and then they drafted Jeff Okuda third overall, right? The expectations are both Trufant and Okuda will take those starting outside corners, and Coleman will be the inside corner, and those are your three starters, right? I don't think there's anybody who's going to question that.
Yeah, it's a barring injury that should be the starting three.
Yeah, and then if they get injured, now you start looking at your reserve corners, and I think the top one is going to be Amani Oruwariye. Most of the time he played on the outside. He saw some snaps inside. He's a better player on the outside, and I think he has – starter potential. And when Trufant's contract expires in 2 years, Oware would be ready to step in and start. I think that's kind of their long-term hopes. And, you know, he's a nice third option to have on the outside, or you can call him the fourth option at corner, where if someone does get hurt, Oware has the potential to step in a lot of different spots and contribute. And so right there, I think you can lock those four in with, you can write those names in pen. After that, it gets a little tricky. They signed Michael Jackson off the Dallas practice squad, or when they claimed him off waivers or however that worked out, if I remember. That's a guy that they liked a lot, and people kind of gloss over him because we didn't see him other than on the practice squad last year. They signed Daryl Roberts, who started for the Jets for the last 3 or 4 years. Mike Ford has always been a matchup guy. When they get a player with exceptional speed, Ford has always been that guy who tends to match up with the speed options. Between him and Roberts, it's going to be a very good battle, I think, between who's going to be the other reserve other than Oware. Diversion has been their starting gunner for the last 2 years. Jamal Agnew, he's been their primary kick returner and punt returner for the last several years, and he's coming off a season where he had a kick return for a touchdown and a punt return for a touchdown. And then they brought in Tony McRae, who was a starting gunner in Cincinnati last year with Braden Combs, who is now the Lions special teams coordinator. So this is a guy who, you know, he has a lot of experience, and I think that's going to give him a leg up. And it gets really tricky trying to sort through these guys between which ones I think are going to end up with the reserve spot. So do you want to, you want me to talk about them now, or do you want me to, you know, I think is really the rest of the guys that we're going to pick out of this corner spot are going to be, it's going to be based on special teams. So do
let's
we want
to move over to the safety spot right now?
That sounds good to me too. So we have four corners that we've put in there that are
locks.
Yes. Okay. Now at safety, you've got also four guys that I think are locks for the roster. Tracy Walker returns. He's your Joker. The Joker is a guy who can play all three safety spots. He will spend a lot of time at the linebacker level because he has the ability to cover tight ends. He has the ability to cover running backs. He's fast enough. He's long enough. He's a sure enough tackler. He can cover. He can basically do everything that the linebackers can do and everything the safeties can do. And he's such a valuable player. You can write him in pen. They traded for Daron Harmon, and Harmon is going to be that single high. Now, last year they tried to put Quandre Diggs in that single high, and he was never a good fit. Then they tried splitting time between Harris and Walker, putting Harris back there a lot because they said, well, maybe Harris can be the single high because Quandre was struggling and Harris didn't really fit back there. So then they started splitting time with him and Walker, and it was kind of a mess. And it took Tracy Walker out of spots where he was the most successful. Adding a pure single high in Daron Harmon is going to make this secondary so much more flexible, and it's going to put all the other guys in the spots where they are the most successful. Tracy Walker is still going to see time at single high because Harmon can still drop down and they'll want to disguise coverages, but he won't spend as much time back there. He will be in a spot that is better suited to his skill set. Harmon is such an important add that we're talking not the last year Glover Quinn was in Detroit, but the year before when he was picking off like 11 balls, right? And he was just so dynamic. We're talking that level of ceiling for Daron Harmon, where the Lions haven't had that in like 3 years. And so he is a vital piece that they're going to want to lean on. And that allows Walker to play in his great role. That also allows Will Harris to play in his role. Now, the third safety role last year was
Tavon Wilson.
Thank you very much, Tavon Wilson. And I think because of the Quandre Diggs trade, we never really got to see Harris play that Quandre Diggs role. It was very kind of few and far between. But then in week 17, they put him in that Tavon Wilson role, and they just let him play. And he got a blitz. He got a sack off a blitz on Aaron Rodgers. I think he was the one who knocked him out, right? Rodgers play the game last year?
The game, but he took a big hit.
Right.
And everybody questioned why he was out there.
But the year before he had to leave the game. Last year, Will Harris, he got a sack in that game. You saw how much more confident he was playing in that third safety role. And that's a role that's on the field about 50% of the time. So having Harmon allows him to play this natural role for him. And I think he'll be a lot more successful than what we saw of him in 2019. Now, the Lions also signed Jayron Kearse from Minnesota. He is going to play this third safety role as well. Now, Kearse is a very good cover safety, which is one of the spots where Harris is developing. And so there's an opportunity for the Lions to play matchup football with their third safety. When they want to go up against certain opponents, they may want Will Harris as the starter in that third safety role. When they go up against others, it may be Jayron Kearse in that third safety role. I think it allows them some flexibility to be able to play more matchup. And so both those guys are going to be part-time players, but they're also going to be very heavy special teams contributors, and they will complement each other well, depending on what the Lions want to do. Now, if Harmon or Walker get hurt, it gets a little trickier. Harris has some range, Kearse not as much. But ideally, if you're playing with guys healthy, having Walker at the Joker, Harmon at the single high, and a Harris-Kearse combo at the third safety, that's a nice upgrade from what they had last season for sure at safety. Now, they have three undrafted free agents that are all going to be pushing C.J. Moore for that fifth safety spot, but I'm not even sure that fifth safety spot's guaranteed. CJ Moore was a starter as a starting gunner last year. Him and Moore and D Virgin were the starting gunners, but he played very well. But based on how this roster is constructed, it was very difficult for me to try and find a spot for Moore. And if I'm struggling to find a spot for Moore, Bobby Price, Jalen Elliott, and Jeremiah Denson, they're all going to have a hard time too. And they have potential. And I think Elliott has the most potential on the field, whereas like Denson has more potential on special teams. But I don't know. It's going to be really hard for these undrafted safeties to carve a role. I think everybody else at this point is going to be – we got three spots left on the roster, right?
Three spots. We've covered eight defensive backs. We have three more open.
And so everything now at this point is going to be special teams related. So the first big question is, what do you do with Jamal Agnew, right? He returned – he has two touchdowns that he returned last year. I think he returned one the year before, two the year before that. There's not many guys in the NFL that have that type of resume. And even though he was benched in week two last year, he came back and got that touchdown in week three, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know what they're going to do with him. I think people are willing to walk away from him because he's doesn't bring a whole lot. On defense as a nickelback.
Not great on defense.
Yeah. But I think when you look at his averages and when you look, they're both top eight last year, I think. And then when you look at the fact that he took two to the house, that's such a weapon that I am not sure they're willing to walk away from. And I know people will say, well, Eric, you kept Jason Huntley, who is a return man. Last
five kick return TDs for touchdowns in college.
And that is incredible, but he didn't do any punt returns in college. As a matter of point, if Jamal Agnew isn't on the roster, your punt returner is Danny Amendola. It's probably, unless Huntley can prove that he can be reliable. I don't know that they can walk away from Jamal Agnew. I really don't. And I know people are saying they're comfortable writing him off. I'm not. I just don't think the coaching staff will be. So therefore, one of those last three spots I'm going to give to Agnew based on his big play return ability potential.
All right. So now we've got gunners. Let's move on to gunners. We have two more spots.
Yeah, two more spots, and we need two gunners. The last year's returners were – or last year's gunners – were C.J. Moore and Dee Virgin. But as I mentioned earlier, Tony McCray was Cincinnati's starting gunner, and now we have Braden Combs in. So if you look at those three, I think you have to give the edge to Tony McCray. Now, McCray can also play nickelback, which is something that Agnew has struggled at. So that gives McCray a little bit of some stability, that he, the fact that he can play some defense. So I think McCray is going to get in there. Now it's CJ Moore and Dee Virgin, but you also have two reserve gunners who saw about 20% of their special team snaps at gunner last year. And that's Mike Ford and Daryl Roberts. For me, you can't dismiss Ford or Roberts because of the fact that they are so much better on defense than Virgin and Moore are. And while you have McCray, who can play a little bit of defense, he's mostly a special teamer. Jamal Agnew was mostly a special teamer. That means you've got to get an, if you're going to get another gunner out of this group, in my mind, you have to get a gunner who can live on defense, who can play on defense. And that means probably Moore and Virgin aren't in the conversation for that. That would be Ford and Roberts. And maybe Daryl Roberts, you know, because of that starting experience, he can win that spot. But I know that they like Mike Ford. I know that they use Mike Ford as a specialist in matching up with speed options.
We saw a lot of Mike Ford last year. I expect to see a lot of him again this year. More than you'd expect.
And that's why I'm giving this last roster spot here to Mike Ford. And I think he's going to be expected to be a starting gunner and your kind of fifth or sixth cornerback, whatever you want to call it. Last year, he was cornerback four. This year, he's going to be five or six, which means he's probably got to be in the gunner conversation. I would love to get CJ Moore in here. And I think Dee Virgin is probably a better gunner than CJ Moore. He just doesn't play defense. There's only so many guys that only play special teams that you can keep. You're already keeping one in Reeves Maven, in Agnew, in McCray. If you can't keep a fourth in Divergen, you got to have somebody that does something more. And CJ Moore can play something more. And I'd love to get him in there, but I just don't know how to do it.
He'll find his way on the roster at some point during the year.
Well, yeah, and at some point it's very possible because I think he's a practice squad candidate. But as far as when the 53 is established, he would either have to beat Mike Ford outright, or you'd have to lose a player who doesn't play special teams, like a Kevin Strong or an Austin Bryant. And I don't think they want to do that. I think they need Austin Bryant on the edge. I think they need Kevin Strong for health purposes. I don't know where there's a spot where you can add a special teams only safety, like a fifth safety in CJ Moore. And I really would like to get him on. I think he's deserving of being on. I think the potential is there. Having a fifth safety would be incredible. I just don't know where to plug them in. And until I see these guys in camp, it's hard for me to give him a nod over somebody else that can do more on defense than he can.
All right. So that's 11. Akuda, Trufant, Oruwariye, and Ford as the outside corners. Coleman, technically Agnew, and McCray as the nickel and dime corners, the inside corners. And four safeties, Walker, Harmon, Harris, and Curse. So we've hit 11. Yeah. So now we're up to 25. So we have a full defensive roster.
Yep. And the 20, yeah, the 27 from last podcast, we have one spot remaining.
That's the punter. And that spot is in question. We have Jake Fox, who is technically returned. Jack Fox. Yeah, I'm sorry. Jack. Yeah. See, that's how important he's been. Jack Fox, who was seemingly a developmental guy last year, and Andy Seipas from Australia. It's going to be a wild competition.
So, so Jack Fox was an undrafted punter last year. He was picked up by Kansas City. I played very well. And so well that Kansas City kept him on their practice squad to start the year. They were a little bit concerned about their punter, Colquitt, who they have subsequently cut this year. And they were thinking maybe Fox could be their punter of the future. The issue was they needed roster space or practice squad space. And so they had to eventually cut Jack Fox in favor of a position player. And so when they cut Fox, the Lions said, well, we're looking at punters and we'll bring you into our practice squad. And they got a long look at him over the last month of the season. And he has a big leg. He can do kickoffs. He can change the field with his leg and just like, you know, he can just put the ball, you know, a ridiculous amount of distance and height. And they liked what they saw on him enough that they not only let Sam Martin walk, but they didn't draft anyone either, sign or draft anyone either.
We expected a drafted punter. Yeah. Just a note, Fox averaged 45 and a half yards per punt at Rice.
Yeah. Yeah. And his touchbacks were on kickoffs were, I think, in like the 80% or something like that. It was up there.
Let's just say off the charts.
Yeah, it was good. So he can, if you have a guy who can handle kickoffs, then you're going to allow Matt Prater to rest a little bit during the game.
Rest, right? A little bit. He's going to walk out there four times during the game if you're lucky.
But you want that. But you know what? He swings that leg 100 times on the sidelines. You know what I mean?
Sure. Like, it's a nice show.
Yeah.
We get to watch him kick into the net. It's always fun when they have to show the sidelines with the kicker kicking into the net.
So he is a guy that can take a little bit of pressure off Prater. He can really, you know, change the field. And while Seipas will challenge him, I have to give the edge to Fox early. Now Seipas is interesting because he's older than Fox. Even though he's a year later in the draft, later in the NFL life than Fox is. But he has, we talked previously about his rugby experience or Australian rules football experience.
Australian rules football. And I called him Andy when it's Aaron.
You're right.
Shows how much I know about him.
Well, you got both punter names wrong. I mean, what are you going to do?
I had the right first letter. I was working with the Madden generator. It's coming up with names.
Not a lot of people will pay attention to the punters, but this is going to be an interesting battle.
Yeah, it's very, very important. Field position is very important.
I do think that it's very much up for grabs, but at the same time, they also just let everybody that was, you know, They just, you know, didn't sign any of the big names. They didn't draft any of the big names. And they just said, hey, we like this Seipas guy. We'll let him come in, but we feel comfortable enough with Jack Fox that we're just going to roll with it. Right. So I think that speaks volumes about Fox and that they believe he can be the starting punter. They're not going to give it to him, but I have to give him the edge because I don't see, based on their actions, it sure looks like they're anticipating Fox to be their guy, their punter.
Finally, we've hit 53.
Yeah. You know, it's not as easy as it seems to come up with 53.
Rather difficult.
Because I think it is. Because, I mean, realistically, I want to be as accurate as I possibly can. And I want to be able to give our listeners and my readers as much information as they have so they can know, hey, Eric said this guy was going to do it or was going to be on the roster, but now he's not. And why was it? Oh, that's because, you know, Eric said, this is something that could happen with player X, right? I want to be able to like give as much information out there as possible in my thought process on why I'm going to favor one guy over another. You know, this could have been, and it really was supposed to be just, I was supposed to write a 53-man projection, one article, and just be done with it. And instead,
you can't do that though. You had to break it into 8 different articles.
Well, technically, yeah. And then I explained my summary, which is 9. Then we did 2 podcasts about it. So
11.
Yeah. And now I'm doing
5 guys at a time.
And now I'm doing, and now I've asked people to tell me where I was wrong and where they think I'm wrong. And I'm going to do some more articles following this up on what people think I missed on or why I missed on it. And I'll give my reasonings on a player by player analysis of what people still have questions on. What did I miss? And I want to know what people think. I want to know. I don't proclaim to know. This is just my best guesstimate. And if you think something different, then tell me. Tell me why. And let me know why, so that I can then contemplate on that. And we'll see. And I'm going to write some more articles after this. And, you know, we're going to do our, you know, people have said that they really like this series because there's not a lot going on, right? The mm-hmm. football world is slowly coming to a halt, right? The camps are going on, but no one can see any.
They're not camping together.
Right. And so usually this time of year, we'd be getting camp notes and articles. That's all gone. And we're about a week or so away from, that just being done all together as well. So it's going to be a tough world that we're going to be headed into as far as football news. And so I want to take a concept that people are interested in and just try and stretch that out as much as I can, and want to keep people, you know, interested in what's going on. And so let's just keep doing it. Let's just keep expanding. We'll go player by player if we have to over the next few weeks, just to get people's questions answered.
So, all right, let me ask you this question. How many questions do you have to receive from angry people stating that, why do you have Matthew Stafford on the 53-man roster before you write an article about it?
Oh, I will never need to write an article on that.
It's an unlimited amount of angry mailings.
Yeah, I don't think I would get enough of those to force me to.
No, but I'm sure there's got to be a couple of jokesters out there who are going to send them in to you.
Oh, sure. I put a nice quote about Stafford out yesterday, about Patricia saying he doesn't know why people keep asking about Stafford being on the trade block, because he's not and never has been. And he doesn't know where those rumors are coming from or how they are getting out there. And I had at least 2 or 3 people respond to that, saying things negatively about him, and that, you know, he was terrible. And I mean, look, if you think Matthew Stafford is a bad quarterback, I don't know what you're watching. You know what I mean? Like, when you watch him play, he's an NFL quarterback. He's a very good NFL quarterback.
Certainly.
And I think people are frustrated with losing, and he's an easy target, but
he's been around for a lot of it.
Yeah. But if you think he's bad, I don't know. I don't know if there's anything that I can say to someone who thinks he's bad to explain why he's not bad. You know what I mean? I think if you think he's bad, you're probably set in your ways on that. He's bad.
You are set in your ways. There really is no argument with that person.
Right. I mean,
you're not going to turn him around.
Yeah. And now you can argue other players. You know, there's a lot of other players that you can say, I don't think this guy should be starting, or I don't think this guy is in the right spot. Like, there's a lot of that you can put out there. And I'm more than happy to talk about that and say why I think, or why I think the Lions think that is the way it is. But Yeah, Stafford's not one of those. He's not one. I think he's locked in, and I wouldn't be surprised. Again, there's a future for him as long with this coaching staff, and as long as they're here, I don't think there's any question that he's going to be here as well.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that, and that's it. You know, we've filled out a defensive roster. We've somehow were able to talk about Matthew Stafford again for another 5 minutes. I blame myself. I did it both times in the last two episodes.
You're just dangling, you know, fun topics.
Well, yeah, no, I gotta poke at you. Poke the bear.
Yeah, so I want to get maybe we'll put out questions to the listeners for next podcast and get their thoughts on what we've done, or what, you know, what we've set up here. Maybe we'll do a little bit more individual player breakdowns. I'm interested. I think what we should put out, I'll put out some questions or an opportunity for questions, for our next week's podcast, and it should be some fun to get the focus in more on what the listeners are interested in.
Yeah. Oh yeah. We haven't heard from them in a while. And plus, it's nice that they do most of our work for us.
You know, they've kept the reviews coming in too, Joe.
Yeah, no, you know, it's great.
Yeah. You know, we mentioned last week that we're got
pushing. Making a push.
Right. We're up to 288. And we mentioned last week we got that nice review from B. Hubes. Then we got another one from one satisfied, another written one from one satisfied user. And
it's a good name.
It was a very good name. They said they liked our review and they were commenting about Wiggins and
keeping them. Yep.
Yep. And so I think those things all help us, you know, when people are writing those relevant topics or on current podcasts, that goes a long way, and it keeps other people who are looking for Lions podcasts, it gives them a lot of good information on what's going on right now. So we appreciate it. It's great. I'm happy with everything that we've been able to maintain our fan base through this and through this off season, and I'm glad that we can keep putting podcasts out there for people, you know, when there's like I said earlier, not a lot of football going on right now.
Yeah, we'll find a way. We'll keep getting them out there. That's for sure.
All right.
Yeah, so that's it. That's all we got. Hey, we thank everybody for listening. We really appreciate it. And until next time, let's go Lions.